This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to Ace Time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Thursday. Happy opening day to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We're with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. You got a little bounce in your step today, man. I can tell.
I'm looking at all the promotional items this year for the Astros. Trying to figure out which one I want to get.
Yeah, the giveaway calendar. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What's today? Schedule magnet?
Today is schedule magnet. You got to do schedule magnet day on the very first day of the season because then you get maximum usage out of it. You know?
That's true. Yeah, yeah. It'd be a waste to go tomorrow. You're like,
tomorrow. I already knew that game was yesterday. Thanks for nothing.
I got 161 hits of dopamine off of this instead of 162.
That's right. I don't know what they... early in the season, I know that the one on Saturday, I'm pretty sure Saturday, is the old Jeremy Pena muscle shirt that we were talking about. The Jeremy Pena muscle shirt that sucked me in like a tractor beam to betting the over on home runs this year.
Jeremy Pena muscle tee shirt day, which is also hope that the guy sitting next to you is in a sweaty fat slob day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If they take it and immediately put it on, yes.
Yeah, they should combine with a deodorant on that day.
Well,
you know?
And if the ballpark, and I would hope now that Daikin is the sponsor that this isn't the case, but dude, remember how hot the ballpark was in the first couple months of the season last year?
There was an update on that in the offseason.
Okay.
It basically said that they'd figured something out. I cannot recall that. So everybody take that with a grain of salt the way you would take an anonymous scout report.
Yeah.
You were like, well, an anonymous radio host said that he thought he heard tell of an improvement,
yeah.
Obviously with an actual air conditioning company.
Yeah, man.
Taking control of the naming rights there.
All right,
I
so-
was looking through the promotional days and I was kind of thinking, I have a family member who's autistic and awesome, does very well managing it, and yet I'm trying to figure out on Autism Awareness Night if that would be the right night to bring him or not. Like, does everybody just shut the hell up because my autistic family member is not a huge fan of
noise,
loud crowds.
Yeah, I don't know. That's early in the season too. I think I want to say I might have bought tickets for that. I think it's like Tuesday of next week.
Okay, well if you go, just shut the hell up.
I will.
Okay?
No, I'll be quiet.
I'm
not loud to begin with, but I'll keep it down.
Could you just quiet it down a little bit?
It's the worst home field advantage of the year. So the Astros, a ton of good stuff going on. So today is opening day. It's an early start. It's a 3:10 first pitch. Schedule magnet giveaway. Pre-game, Seth, the reveal. I'm going off of all the press release stuff from the Astros yesterday. They were hyped about these early season series, and I am too. This is going to be a super intriguing season for the Astros, especially early on with this outfield. Offensively, thumbs up. I think it's good. Even with Jake Meyers out there, I'll give it an overall report card of A in terms of intrigue. Defensively, I give it an A+ in terms of intrigue, but a D- in terms of how it's affecting my anxiety, the defensive outfield part.
This is the one thing to remember about the outfield, Sean, is that the pitching staff does project to be one of the most ground ball heavy staffs in the league.
Yeah.
And that's not something that they haven't thought about as they're experimenting a little bit in the outfield.
Yep.
Doesn't mean you're never going to get any fly balls out there, obviously.
Right.
But, I mean, with Jose Altuve specifically, okay, he's really taken a downturn defensively as a second baseman. If he's going to hurt you as a fielder, it's with this pitching staff, and you know, when they mix and match with the ground ball pitchers, he's probably not going to hurt you nearly as much as a left fielder as he would as a second baseman.
Well, not today, too. It's Framber on the mound. So, good. That's a really good point. So they're revealing the new look Phillips 66 home run train. No more oranges on there, I'm guessing.
Right.
Bye-bye Minute Maid Park. Hello, Daikin. What do we think Bobby Dynamite is carrying in his choo-choo train out there?
It was originally logs.
Yes.
Before it went to oranges.
Yep.
Would it be simple enough just to put it back to logs? I feel like that. I don't think it's necessarily going to get a pop or anything.
But there's
nothing from the air conditioning industry that lends itself to being carried by a train aesthetically pleasing as oranges are.
This would not work out well in Houston in real life if people were to try to mimic this. But if you're trying to mirror the sponsor, gigantic ice cubes or snowballs, maybe something like that. You know,
yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, you know, that's.
What about a bunch of illegal Freon that they're smuggling in?
Yes. Yes.
Is that still a thing?
Freon. Yeah. If you haven't done anything yet, Astros, smuggled Freon. We're gonna be a Freon mule. That's what we're going to be.
Freon, but you won't actually be able to see the Freon.
Yeah.
On top of it, it'll be cans of tomato paste.
There you go.
It'll be just something like, how would we hide this?
Like throwing people off the scent. I got
you. Yes. And then with a couple of drug sniffing or Freon sniffing dogs trailing it.
Oh, yeah, let's set a whole scene. Yes. Shrunken heads. Of every all-star the Astros have smoked in the postseason since 2015, that would be kind of fun.
Be a little morbid.
I mean, it would get people talking for sure.
Is that a suggestion from one of our listeners?
A suggestion from me, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's me. I want that. No, but that's a good idea. What should the cargo be on the new train out in left field? 713-572-4610. On the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
Maybe it would just be a big air conditioning unit or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like a rooftop.
With shrunken heads hanging off of it. I really want these shrunken heads to happen.
I'm intrigued. I'm surprised that hasn't leaked yet.
Yeah.
That there hasn't been some report. I looked a little bit. Maybe I missed it.
Yeah.
I'm not on the message boards as much as I used to be.
Because that City Connect uniform leaked like a week before they revealed it.
Can we not leak our uniforms, people?
Yeah.
Can we manage to not leak our uniforms? This is 2 years in a row now. First the Texans, and now the Astros, where we've leaked the uniforms.
At least with the Astros, the leak was just the shrink wrap version of the uniform getting pulled out of a box somewhere. Whereas with the Texans, it was some dude wearing a Stingley uniform who looked nothing like Derek Stingley.
Did not fill out the uniform the same way Stingley filled out his uniform.
No, it wasn't fat or anything like that. And it wasn't even, you know, it looked like he was in good shape, you know?
He looked a little bit like when Hollywood does a football movie and almost nobody on the team actually looks like a football player in their uniforms.
Yes.
They're usually just put, all right, can we find somebody who weighs 300 pounds to play an offensive lineman? Okay, good. Yeah, he's a pro football player.
Excited for this opening day, man. Larry Durker's throwing out the first pitch. I was thinking about that this morning. Larry Durker's an awesome dude. I was thinking about that this morning. You know, with anything in sports and you start to talk about nostalgia, you're like, the big fill in the blank is you can't write the history of this without so-and-so. And they talk about that with the Hall of Fame. I hate that as a criteria. That's a Peter King thing. If you can't write the history of football without this guy, he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Ugh. Yeah, it's an incredible lack of imagination.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, that said, I'm about to use it.
It's like, how could we possibly have written this without... Well, you just take it out, dumbass.
Yeah,
a writer. You're told to cut words all the time.
By the way, there's crappy players that you can't write the history of football without either.
But I'll
say this about Larry Durker. After Jeff Bagwell and Craig Biggio and Jose Altuve, the list is very short of people that you could write the history of the Astros without mentioning their name, given that Larry Durker was a high-level pitcher for the Astros for years. He was a great broadcaster here. You know, he was in the booth for a long time, and then he went straight from the booth to being a manager and had a successful, you know, didn't win a World Series or anything like that, but he won a few division titles in the late 90s, and he had a successful career as a manager as well, and just a great guy. So he's throwing out the first pitch today.
He's 78 years old now.
Yeah,
already.
Man.
I don't think he's a young. I haven't talked to him in a couple of years.
He's a young 78.
Well.
I see him every year. I'll see him in a week at the Joe Niekro Foundation thing. He's there every year. Food item that I dare you to eat at the ballpark. I've had this sitting on the rundown for a week ever since I saw it. The Daddy Mac dog. Darren Revelle tweeted this out. Could you eat this, Seth, sitting in your seat? Foot-long Angus beef frank with chopped brisket, mac and cheese, barbecue sauce, and a crispy dill pickle.
It's the key part there is obviously yes, I could eat it, but in my seat, no, I wouldn't.
In
even
your
try.
Seat is the key.
No,
yeah,
the macaroni and cheese would be all over the place.
Yeah.
If you can imagine me sitting there in my Jeremy Pena basketball jersey with no t-shirt underneath, eating that, just slopping it all over myself. You eat that up on the concourse,
up in the concourse,
nowhere else.
Find a table. I am
mandating that.
I don't get the people that take these gigantic creations of culinary Aramark creations or whoever's doing the food over at the park and bring it to their seat. It's wild.
You've gotten me angry about that phrase. You can't write the history without.
Oh yeah,
you're exactly right.
Yeah.
That's like saying, hey, you know what else you can't really write the history of any of these sports leagues without? Al Qaeda.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Like without 9/11 and everything that happened, does that mean Al Qaeda belongs in the Hall of Fame?
Hall of Fame class. They unveil the Hall of Fame class at the Super Bowl, and they slap a gold jacket on a member of Al Qaeda.
Right. Right. Yeah. The N90 masks.
Yeah.
Can't write the history of sports without that. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's take every unpleasant thing that you can't write the history of baseball without.
$15.79 for that big gigantic hot dog. That's a pretty, for ballpark prices, that's pretty good. Like a regular hot dog's like $8 or $9. That's pretty good.
No, that thing looks delicious.
I eat that.
Okay, no, the real question is, do you eat it with your hands, or I feel like I'd give you a pass to eat that with a fork and knife.
For sure, because I'd want to get I need a fork to scoop up all the macaroni and cheese shrapnel that falls off of the hot dog.
You want to
eat the whole thing. Season win total for the Astros, 86.5. This feels like an over show. Payne and Pendergast is an over show when it comes to stuff like this. Yes, I'm going over 86.5. Plus 1,600 to win the World Series. Tied for six. So still in the, upper third. I don't know if that's the upper quartile of the upper quartile, but I will say this. The Astros have, when it comes to winning,
in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
That's actually true with the Astros over the last 10 years, okay?
You know, the Fangraphs has the win total at 83 for the Astros.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay, why do you think, Fangraphs factors in everything, not just...
They factor in everything, but they have, if I recall properly, some of it is a little bit antiquated. It's not as advanced as you would think. It's based on a rolling schedule, which includes going back into last season.
Yeah.
So that they might be a little off on that. We need our baseball nerds to tell us.
Yeah.
Text in if you're a baseball nerd or a self-proclaimed baseball nerd.
The Astros.
If you just like to think of yourself as a baseball nerd, which computer model should I use?
Yes, in placing our over bet for the season, because we ain't betting the under. I don't bet the under on my teams. I don't like to root against them. The Astros have gone under the last two seasons, and they're one of only like four or five teams in baseball to do that, that went under their posted total. So they've underachieved compared to Vegas. I think it's fair to say they'll have to overachieve that number this year to win the division. I don't think 86 wins gets the... although this is going to be a dogfight, this division is going to be...
That's right. It might be one of those situations where because the division is strong, it tamps down the overall wins. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're just beating up on each other. Yeah. Cam Smith, you put this in here. Cam Smith is the favorite for Rookie of the Year now?
He is.
Wow. 4.5 to 1 if you want to get down on that. Okay, he was like 6 2 days ago. Must be that video that got everybody going.
Third fastest elevation since 1985, I believe, is the running. There's a little bit of I've seen discrepancies in that, in just how fast his elevation is compared to other guys. I mean, because like Dave Winfield and those guys didn't even hit the minors. Yeah. So, but it's one of the fastest elevations in a long, long time in baseball.
The two names that I saw that he's been bumping up against are Pete Incaviglia and John Olerud. But suffice it to say, you're right. Suffice it to say, you can throw Dave Winfield or anybody else in there. It is a fast call-up for Cam Smith.
Dave Winfield was a bum. Put him up next to
Cam Smith. Drafted in three sports, Dave Winfield. He was drafted
in football,
basketball, and baseball. Yeah, look it up. He was drafted in three sports. He was the man.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Crazy.
Yep, yep. All right, Anonymous Scouts. We've talked about them. Seth's going to quiz me again at 8 o'clock today. With quotes from anonymous scouts. I have to guess the player. But they've started to, the anonymous scouts have been weighing in on two positions that I would say are primary positions of need for the Texans. How are they feeling about some of the guys that we have loved in these mock draft exercises that we've done? We'll do that coming up next. Happy opening day, everybody.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios. Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, if you know anything about this show, if anybody's speaking anonymously in a controversial fashion, we're all over that. Whether it's anonymous executives, anonymous scouts. And when I say controversial, I don't mean politics and things like that. I'm talking about things like, I don't know, saying that Tataroa McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona, was making business decisions last year when he was on the field. Yeah. That kind of stuff.
These anonymous scout-anon, as we like to call
scout-anon, them. Scout-anon, yes.
Scout-anon and exec-anon.
Yes.
The sometimes nefarious, but sometimes dead on the nose anonymous scouts and executives.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Bob McGinn is a former writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covered football, covered the Packers up there, and his big gimmick that lives on to this day on Tyler Dunn's paywall site, golongtd.com. If you're a fan of long-form writing, it's a really good site. Bob McGinn is on the payroll there now, and he talks to a lot of anonymous scouting folks behind the scenes every year about the various prospects. And to the extent that there's so much stuff that he drops a position a day for like the next 2 weeks. Like he gets a ton of stuff, and we will not even come close to getting to 10% of it in these segments that we do.
And I've never seen anybody from the league or anything accuse him of fabricating these quotes. He's pretty well known as a guy that just has a lot of contacts and has been doing this for a long time.
Good point. Yes. Yeah. Like these are legit quotes, I would say, from scouts. So he's dropped three of the positions so far: wide receiver, tight end, and tackles. There's another one he dropped this morning. I haven't seen what it is. I would say of those three positions, Seth, wide receiver, trading Laremy Tunsil. Wide receiver and tackle are two big ones for the Texans, no question.
Offensive line in general. Offensive tackle isn't as big for me. I think they've put themselves in a position where they can go best player available if they want to go offensive line, but still.
So let's do the wide receivers first then. And I'll start with McMillan because he's the number one listed. And he started, for whatever reason, he has started in these mock drafts to slip to at least in the neighborhood of the Texans.
Yeah.
Big tall guy, 6'5". Not a burner. His 40 time is more in the 4.5, 4.6 range, which maybe is why he's falling. He did average 16 yards a catch last year at Arizona. They say some nice things about him in here. They compare him to Mike Evans, one scout does. They say he's big and strong. He's fast enough. That's all good. He'll work the middle of the field between the numbers. He'll give you a headache all day long. He's a number one wide receiver. He's a hard worker. Sky's the limit. He was a 5-star recruit out of Hawaii One scout calls him a lesser version of Rome Odunze. I don't know if that's a compliment or a critique yet at this point, with Rome Odunze only being
in
the league.
Yeah, that's a great point. A lesser version of Rome Odunze, who hasn't really had a fair chance at doing anything.
Yeah, he hadn't really torn it up yet. He's a volleyball player in high school, which you can see in his skills. Now, that's a crossover sport I've not thought about. I mean, you bring
We've had water polo. And that worked out brilliantly for the Texans.
Look up Callie Waring. Callie Waring, 2019.
So a volleyball crossover. I'm kind of into it.
Yeah. Very swarmy volleyball.
means not exactly what you'd expect from a wide receiver, because the carryover between the two sports is, in one sport, you're trying to deftly and quickly bounce the ball back away from you. Whereas in the other sport, you're trying to reel it in.
He's slapping it back. All right, but we know why we're here. We're here for the criticism in this segment. A scout said this: the 2023 film is a lot better than this past season. He was in protection mode this year. There's stuff on film this year that's just gross.
Oh, gross.
The lack of competitiveness is just disturbing at times. Very undisciplined route runner. Big play potential, but too many times it didn't happen. Not overly physical for a big guy, but he's got natural ball skills. His feet are awesome. This is all the same scout, by the way. Real smooth operator. Ooh, no need to ask. He's slippery in run after the catch. Got pretty good speed. Oh, okay, here we go. A really immature kid. He's a poster child for this NIL bleep.
Oh, wow.
They kiss his ass to get him to stay, and then they do what they want. This is the second receiver, Seth, in 2 days that we've heard a scout critique the fact that a kid had to get his ass kissed to not enter the transfer portal. Luther Burden III being
the other
one.
To not go get a bunch of more money.
I wonder if it's the same guy. I wonder if it's the same scout.
Yeah, there's a little bit of grumpiness seeping in now with the NIL stuff you can see from the scouts. That one I have a hard time with, just because, all right, I know if you're criticizing the kid because he could have made $1 million more somewhere else, but then he decided to stay.
So
usually
they kissed
his
ass
for less money, right? So I don't know. Everything's too new with NIL for me to use that as a check against him. The lack of competitiveness and everything, what I hear there, when you start talking about not a great route runner but a lack of competitiveness, it feels like a broke-ass DeAndre Hopkins. Instead of the good version, DeAndre Hopkins would compete like crazy, even though he wasn't a crisp route runner, but he had length, and DeAndre wasn't super fast, but he was super competitive.
Yeah.
That's what's going to hurt him. Because he hasn't tested great, he's not fast, he doesn't separate really well. You want to see, okay, but this guy competes like a demon.
Yeah.
That, I'll let the NIL stuff go.
Okay.
But that part of it, man, I don't know. I want you to be a hyper-competitor if you're not all that fast, like DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. Okay, second receiver on the board is Matthew Golden, who you know is the guy that I want. He's risen to the top of the Pendergast big board at 25. You know, if the Texans move up, my board changes. But these are guys that are going to be there at 25. Golden is my guy. And it's hard to find a lot of real negative stuff in the Golden thing. One scout says,
that's what I thought, too.
Yeah. Like, you and I are looking for the dirt and the muck. Right. And there's not a lot of dirt and muck on Matthew Golden. I kind of wish there was, so he'd slip to 25. Nevertheless.
We could put it out there.
That's true. Yeah, we got a big platform. This is what one scout says. Whenever they needed a play, he's the one that was that guy. He made the emotional plays for them. He'll make a difference as he moves up a level. Second scout says he ran a 4.29. He does have some combo skills. He can play outside and in the slot. Man, this is me talking. The comps to Tank Dell just continue to rise to the surface with Matthew Golden. Like a bigger version of Tank
Bigger
Dell.
Version of, yeah. The stuff in the big moment that's echoed by various scouting reports and like the actual, I mean, you can look it up in the box score and see when in the play-by-play when he's made big plays in big moments. And Texas fans, Longhorns themselves, will say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
We haven't even been able to get any smoke out of it. Usually some alma mater, some alumnus will talk smack, but everybody loves Matthew Golden.
The biggest criticism, there's one scout says not a whole lot of negatives on him other than his size. He's fast enough to play outside. He doesn't have runaway home run speed as a returner, but he's good enough. Doesn't have great hands, one scout says. Scout calls him a crafty little guy. Crafty little guy.
I like crafty little guy as opposed to money grubbing non-competitor. So far in these power rankings, based on nothing but anonymous quotes, we've got Matthew Golden above McMillan.
All right, let's go to Luther Burden, because he's the other one that got the smoke, and I wonder if it's the same scout. Their scouts talking about the comps to Deebo Samuel. Great hands, natural after the catch, vision, elusiveness, strength, toughness. One of the worst practice players you've ever seen.
Oh, goodness.
His talent on the field makes you take notice. Okay, that's a big red flag. Here we go. Here's the quote, and we had this quote earlier this week. Again, these are Bob McGinn quotes from anonymous scouts. This is Luther Burden III. He's a five-star. They kiss his ass for 3 years just to keep him there. The girlfriend is his manager. The mom is a problem.
Oh.
But he's a good player on Saturday. He's very ordinary Monday through Friday. That's an area he's really going to have to improve. I thought his tape from 2023 was better than 2024, but I also thought the quarterback play was a little better a year ago in 2023. If you take him, you're gritting your teeth that you're going to have a Sunday player who isn't going to add much to your team the other 5 or 6 days of the week. This, my friends, does not feel... We need like a swarm or non-swarm sounder.
Yeah, that doesn't sound swarm based on these anonymous reports.
Non-swarming!
I'll tell you one thing. You know who I feel bad for? Luther Burden himself. If this is indeed the case where his girlfriend is the manager and his mom is a problem, if there's one thing I know about human relations, a mom who's a problem and a girlfriend who wants to be the manager, probably not getting along well themselves.
They're always pulling in the same direction.
Yeah.
We just want what's best for you, Luther. Yeah.
Luther Burden is just sitting in a dark room.
Oh, my God.
Trying to tune out the noise.
How about this? His grandfather, Luther Ticky Burden, averaged 29 points a game for Utah in 1974-75 before playing 3 pro seasons of basketball.
Oh, okay. So far the power rankings would go from least scary to most scary. I'd say Matthew Golden, then McMillan, then Luther Burden.
I think you're right on that. Yeah. Based on anonymous scouts. All right, we got time to do the last one here. We should do Emeka Ebuka since he's been mocked to the Texans so much.
Yeah. Give me the one piece of dirt that anybody has ever given on Emeka Ebuka because people love him.
They love him. These are scouts saying he'll never be a number. This is probably the worst thing you can say about Emeka Ebuka.
Yeah.
He'll never be a number one in the NFL because he's not quite the burner that you want. He's got really good hands and great instincts. He's got good vision. He's physical with the ball in his hands. He's tough. He's just not a speed demon like the guys we've known down through the years. Second round makes total sense. Good football player. You can put him at X or in the slot. You want him as a matchup problem because he's got size and he's physical.
The one thing about Ebuka, it's almost the opposite of how people would talk about C.J. Stroud when he was a quarterback. Where with C.J. Stroud, the old, Ohio State's never produced a good quarterback, blah, 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 all that stuff comes up. With Ohio State, there might be a tendency to over-evaluate wide receivers.
Yeah, the reverse.
Because they churn out good wide receivers. You wonder if Ebuka, because he looks very pro-ready on the mental side of things, on the route-running side of things, all of the little stuff. It's hard to project. Because college kids they aren't even asked to do a lot of the stuff that Ebuka does really well.
Yeah.
But what is his genuine upside compared to some of those actual studs that have come out of Ohio State, like physical specimen studs? I think that's all. But that's all on the football side of things. Yeah. People absolutely love him from a swarm scenario to all of those factors.
I guess if the guys that have come out of Ohio State, like he ain't Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin Harrison Jr. is thought to be a future elite wide receiver. I think Garrett Wilson skews towards Marvin Harrison Jr. We saw that firsthand in that Texans game. Is he like a poor man's version of like Chris Olave and Jackson Smith and Jigba, probably? The guys that don't like pop out with their physical traits, but they just find a way to get it done?
Yeah.
And at times have found a way to get it done in the NFL so far?
Well, and also then when you're looking at him as a compliment to Nico Collins, that's where it gets interesting. And the one scout who said it makes perfect sense as a second rounder, you wonder, okay, if Ebuka had been in a lesser environment, if he had been at a lesser school, okay, would he be a slam dunk second rounder? I don't know. I feel like with Ebuka, I think a team that's already a genuinely good offense will take him in the back half of the first round. And because it's one of those complementary pieces. Whereas I think the Texans are still trying to prove that they're a good offense.
Yeah.
They're not in that category yet.
Yep. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. McMillan may not have horizontal separation, but at 6'5", or maybe this person might mean vertical separation, but at 6'5", he's got vertical separation. I see what they're saying. Okay. He may not have the burner speed on the ground, but he can go up and get the ball, basically. With CJ as a ball placement specialist, he could be a huge red zone weapon for the Texans.
I guess that's the biggest thing that I question with McMillan, where the anonymous scout might be a little bit jaded by the NIL stuff or anything, because you'll see other people, and there's enough highlights of him looking very competitive at the point. Like, that's his calling card, is that he can win the 50-50 calls.
Yep.
So I might take the McMillan anonymous scout stuff. That one, I might really take it with a huge grain of salt.
That makes sense.
And with a huge disclaimer, always, everybody, that, hey, sometimes these are complete and utter BS, but sometimes they're very accurate. Like, there's a lot of smoke out about Eli Apple a few years back before the draft.
Accurate.
And people thought it was unfair and it's wrong. And then it turns out, like, yeah, that kid was just way too immature for the NFL early in his career.
Yeah, the whole writing the story of the sport and the Hall of Fame connection we made in the opening segment is a good point.
Sean and I do not like when people use as an argument for somebody being in the Hall of Fame that you can't write the history of the sport without this guy.
Yep, that would mean Icky Woods should be in the Hall of Fame. Kind of. I think you can write the history
of
football.
Because of the Icky Shuffle?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he was a lot like William the Refrigerator Perry, you know, where it was like, they crossed over into commercials and pop culture and things like
that. The other thing, though, too, about Icky Woods is that he lives on because one of the ladder drills you do, the agility ladder drills, is called the Icky Shuffle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. So a lot of high school kids
there you go.
That probably don't even know, but some of them know about Icky Woods just because at some point they've probably asked, why is this called the Icky Shuffle?
Yeah.
And then some guy like me is like, well, gather around, kids. Let me tell you a story about a somewhat rotund running back from the 1980s,
yes.
Early 90s.
Yeah, he was on that Bengals team that got beat by John Taylor and Joe Montana in the Super Bowl. The year was 1988, children, gather around. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on an opening day Thursday here, Astros opening day. We'll get to that in headlines. Also, hey, today is the opening day of the Texas Children's Houston Open. Weather permitting, it's been a little wet out there, but it's happening at Memorial Park Golf Course this weekend. It's a good field, man. They got the top two players in the world in the field, Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy, and more of the PGA Tour's best. Some other big names out there on the course right here in Houston at one of golf's best venues in the country, Memorial Park Golf Course. For score updates, tee times, weather notes are key. And ticket information, head to tchouopen.com right now. That's tchouopen.com. Headlines are up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, happy opening day, everybody. It is here. One of the more highly anticipated opening days for me. The Astros opening up against the New York Mets, 3:10 first pitch today. I guess by definition, Seth, you and I were saying yesterday that this spring training was one of the more intriguing ones for us. To me, it was the most intriguing one of this era of Astros baseball just because of so many changes. They're now that kind of champion or, you know, recent champion that's really teetering on the brink right now. The division has caught up to them, at least a couple teams have.
Yeah.
So I have really been looking forward to this season. This is a season where these regular season series with teams like the Mariners and the Rangers, really every game, like if you blow saves early in the season, that's going to feel more painful to me this year than in other years because every game is really going to matter for this
team.
Yeah,
it's good to be in a fist fight.
Yes.
It feels a little bit like Rocky V, Sean, you know? There's just, you're like, you've been bucked down a notch.
Yeah.
Also, Rocky IV a little bit? Was it Rocky IV? He was still... When was Rocky broke?
Five.
It was Rocky five. He wasn't broken in any of the other sequels?
No. He was broken the first one, obviously.
The sequels, I'm saying.
Yeah,
so Rocky, this feels like Rocky five.
Yeah, he's back in the old neighborhood, you know, kind of looking around and going, oh, man, haven't been in the 70 and 80 win neighborhood in a long time, man.
Yeah.
I don't like it here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully
our kid is less annoying, but
Rocky's
hopefully we don't cast our own child.
That was his actual son.
I know. It was a bad choice.
R.I.P. He passed away, too.
Oh, he did?
Sage Stallone. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my assessment of his acting doesn't change.
No,
so
nor should
the other part of it, too, is that the fact that the Astros are opening up against the Mets is a bigger deal than when we get sucked into our little local vacuum here. The Mets have been one of the huge stories, not just in the last couple of years, but this year. They signed Juan Soto to $750 million.
They did.
It's a big day. And remember everybody. Remember, go back in the memory banks of 2019 when Joe Buck would not shut the hell up about Juan Soto. And he's shuffling and scratching and toe-tapping at the plate. Dredge up all that hatred for Juan Soto because he's in Houston now.
Yeah, we're going to do... I'm glad you brought this up. This was because I saw you had some bullet points on this. We're going to do a five reasons I hate you today. I think it's appropriate. It's usually reserved for football season. But I think opening day, and especially because it's the Mets... an easy team to hate.
Yeah.
If you want to, we'll crowdsource this thing a little bit. If you want to text in 713-572-4610, reasons to hate the Mets. If there's a couple good ones, we'll add them to the ones that Seth and I already have. Because the truth of the matter is, we give you five and then read about 10 more afterwards. So
yeah.
So text in 713-572-4610.
By the way, and speaking of, since it's a newly named stadium today, wasn't it the Mets that did one of the broadcasts in the old Astrodome from up in the rafters?
Oh, I don't know.
Which is actually a pretty cool thing. I think it was the Mets broadcast team actually set up in the rafters because it was such a novelty to have a covered stadium.
Yeah, I'm not
sure.
I'll
do the research in the next break.
Yeah, I'll let you do that. So that's today, opening day 3:10. Looking forward to that. Framber Valdez on the mound for the Stros. And I didn't think about that. We get to see the Juan Soto debut as a New York Met. Live today at Daikin Park. Meanwhile, peeking in on former Astros, Boston has made their decision, and Alex Bregman is going to be the starting third baseman for them.
No.
If you recall, Rafael Devers, their incumbent third baseman, during spring training, after they signed Bregman, was clutching onto his position like a branch on a raging river. It is his. He did not want to get moved, so much so that he was asked, would you be willing to become a full-time DH?
How would you react if they asked you to DH? How would you feel about that?
No. No. No.
Yes.
It's no. Always
yeah.
Funny.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe. No. It went from no to... possibly to if I must.
Okay.
I wanted to hear from Tristan Casas.
I actually do want to hear from him, the first baseman, who was basically saying, Bregman, you got to get hazed first before you even get on our infield dirt. Third base, second
Rafael
base, don't matter.
Devers is one of the best third basemen in the league.
Said that, yeah.
As a batter, but not as a third baseman.
No.
Okay, good.
No, this is a good decision. And not that I've been following the Red Sox spring training all that close, other than this story. You sign Bregman to $40 million a year. It is complete clown show, asinine silliness if you take a guy that you gave $40 million a year. He's like the fifth highest paid player in baseball. And he's a gold glover at a position, and you sign him and put him in another position to leave some ratchet fielder out there at third base.
It's a good life lesson in terms of, from Rafael Devers' perspective, sometimes in life you let your ego get in your way to the point where you turn down a situation that would actually be good for you because you're married and tied to a stance that you want to hold. And despite the fact that, okay, you know what, very good chance, it ends up being a more pleasant baseball experience if you can go. Now, he just likes playing baseball, though, too.
Yeah.
Devers strikes me as a guy that just loves playing baseball. I've always enjoyed his plate appearances because he has fun with it and everything. So there's probably a part of him that's just like, no, I just want to play baseball, man.
His heart's in the right place.
Yeah.
His heart's in the right place, I would say. So that's the update there. NBA, the Rockets back in action tonight. They're in Utah to take on the Jazz. The Rockets... still holding on to that 2 seed. Can't take the Jazz lightly. They beat the Rockets. 124-115 last time they were in Utah, not all that long ago. And if I recall, it was a game where it was not as close as the final score would indicate. So the Rockets need to be on their toes tonight. I don't know if Amen Thompson is back. He missed the last game on Tuesday when they played the Atlanta Hawks.
Which is all right because this team, if they're going to have a strength going into the playoffs, because they don't shoot well, we all know that. but they do spread it out really well. And the depth of their lineup and the number of different rotations, that's going to have to be a strength in the playoffs. Yeah. So I'm all for, as long as it's not as long as they're not ridiculous injuries or anything, yeah, shuffle it up as much as possible.
Yeah.
We got to keep that Twin Towers, the dynamic going, and yes.
Well, Thompson's the one that fits into all of them, so that's the big key with him. He can be part of any of those lineups. J.J. Watt's getting a bump, I think. Going from part-time studio analyst to being color analyst on the number two team for CBS, definitely a bump, right?
Yeah, I think he did it in the Netflix game in a three-man booth. Now it's going to be him and Ian Eagle as the number two team at CBS. So he'll be in some high-profile games. Romo's got 5 years left on his deal. I think there's a really good chance that JJ can work his way up into the number one spot here sometime in the next few years.
I would say so, too. Ian Eagle's my favorite NFL TV play-by-play guy right now, so I think this is great for JJ. JJ was posting some screen grabs of their texts last night back and forth with each other, so they're already kind of forming that relationship. They're the number two team. They're the B team for CBS, which I think is a sweet spot for Texans games. You know, the Texans aren't in that perpetual Andrew Catalan, Spiro Dedis carousel they were on a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Ian Eagle's done a handful of their games the last couple years, so I would say we're going to get a pretty healthy heaping of J.J. Watt this year on Texans games, if I had to guess.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
And I think J.J., the cool thing about J.J. is, you know, he's going to prepare, but he's also, he's going to come at it with a perspective from, he's got more of a, I don't know if every man's the right word, but I think that he'll be able to be one of those really likable color commentators who breaks things down simply, but also gives you things from the player's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to form a good relationship with Ian Eagle. I'm excited for him.
If we're just going by position, have we seen? There's maybe an obvious answer out there. I'm literally throwing this out to you and the audience, Seth.
Is a defensive lineman?
Yeah, like really? A defensive.
Howie Long ever been a color commentator?
Probably at some point.
Yeah.
You know, like these guys have all done everything at some point. Probably so. Yeah, Howie Long's a good one. That's a good one. All right, Payne and Pendergast, those are your headlines for today. All right, it's opening day for the Astros. We're going to get you ready for opening day. Where are the Astros sitting right now on the odds board? Cam Smith, a big move up one of the odds boards. And the biggest storylines for this season as we embark on opening day today. I've got the biggest storylines for the Astros this year. Let's see if you agree. 713-572-4610. That's the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. We'll hit opening day next.